Welcome to the final episode of Risky Business for season one. Ando.
Yeah, we've made it. It's been a good time. And unfortunately, you've got the quote to give me today.
Yep, try this one out for size. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards.
I totally saw that when I...
Googling for reflection quotes.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I am the type of person that will actually reflect often and look back and like we've talked about before, I always like to look forward to the next thing as well. But that's something that I can actually buy into and feel like I've got something to say today. So
Nice. Yeah. So our theme for today's episode is reflection. Just being the last episode of the year, and mm-hmm. we definitely had a plan of putting out, you know, four or five episodes. Ended up being on the lower end, who would have thought? But by, you know, sort of doing this mini season, give us a good idea of what we wanted to do going forward, right? So it was kind of like a test and experiment.
And to see if it was the right thing for us, if it was something that we enjoyed or felt added value to our lives and profession. And so, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right. So, yeah, let's reflect on it.
Yeah. Nice. So we're going to start off. I want to start off with the best bits.
Yeah, sure.
So do you want to kick us off? What's your highlight, best bit?
Yeah. Well, for me, the best bit has been using the podcast as a way of engaging with some quality teachers, I guess. Yeah. And, you know, we haven't gone that far yet with the guest interviews, but we've been able to get Dalton back into our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, you know, it has put me onto, you know, Twitter, which I had never used before, but, you know, trying to make some connections and some networks for the podcast. You know, I've been bumping into some other teachers that are doing awesome stuff. And so that has been cool for me to just kind of network and expand outside of our school a little bit. And I look forward to that being a big part of the podcast in the future.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you find? What do you like?
Well, I do agree with that. It's been quite exciting because it brings your focus in on that teaching and learning and seeing what other people are doing.
Yeah.
Which has been good. But actually for me, it's a personal thing, and it's that idea that we're at the end of the year. We have so much to do anyway, and I've added a course as well, and then we've added the podcast on top, and there's been prep work behind the scenes. There's been the time that we've been together and having the conversations, and I've surprised myself at how I've coped really well with all that I've put on my plate.
Yep.
And it's been, and it almost it's helped me deal with the end of year chaos, because you've got something else to look at. You've got something else to enjoy. And so I've found it a really positive experience to show what I can deal with, I guess.
Yeah. When you bite off more than you can chew and chew harder.
Right? Sure. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. That has definitely been, I felt that to an extent as well. By keeping busy, you kind of get more satisfied because you're doing more and achieving more.
Yeah.
That's nice. Cool.
And so then we started having a conversation about, well, do we have any worse bits that we could actually jump onto? And that was really difficult, and I don't think you came up with anything, did you?
I did, but I've forgotten what it is now.
What do you got? What I've got is that it's completely changed the way in which I listen to podcasts now.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm listening and I'm like, oh yeah, I quite like what they're doing there, and oh yeah, I think we can challenge that actually, and then so
yeah, nice. That's cool.
Yeah, it's completely changed the way, which is a good thing as well, I guess.
True.
But yeah. Has that helped out at all?
No, I can't remember what my worst bit was. Oh, never mind. I mean, honestly, it has been a really cool process.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed it. If we weren't enjoying it, we probably wouldn't be doing it. So, it's been really awesome.
Okay, nice. And so it's a time of reflection, but it's also going to be a time of recharging the batteries. And for us as teachers, for our students, and for our... for us as parents as well. But it is nice to have something on the go, because when you're young, I guess those holidays can last for a very long time. So what are some things that maybe students could do on the holidays to help relieve the relentlessness of the holiday?
Yeah, well, I was thinking, you know, just I'd like to see kids just take on some kind of a passion project, do something that is not for school, but you feel industrious and like you're working towards something. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a making project, but it could be anything. But yeah, I just want to see them do something that is purely based on their own passion. And just sort of see what they, you know, keep themselves busy. Could be anything, build a go-kart, I don't know. First thing that come to mind.
Yeah, just get on the streets of Phnom Penh, that'll go. I really like that idea too, because I think that something that is important, well, that we want our students to be able to do is identify what they care about, what they're passionate about. And if you start off with like the making side of things, and then as you go through your education, you might move more towards the social side of things and the social development goals that are in place now, and just start finding their passions and having a voice, or knowing that they can do something with that passion and move forward. So I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah, nice. And one of the kids we had, we had a clip of last week, was talking about he said something like, if you ask someone you tell someone they can build anything, they don't know what to make, but if you give them a little starter, like some guidelines, they'll be able to do it. And I've thought about that, and maybe that's, if a student doesn't know what to do when you give them free choice, maybe they don't have enough experience with free choice yet, because that should be really exciting for them, not daunting, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, yeah, giving them a little bit more experience in like, what are you interested in? What would you do if you had freedom to choose? Well, do it.
Yeah. So here we are, and we've got another guest speaker today. And something we want to do here at Risky Business is we want to make sure that the people that we're bringing on are people who we believe are experts and have something to say, and they're also good people. So I can personally vouch for this person. we've got Bissy Groom here. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Bissy?
Yeah, sure. My name's Bissy Groom. I'm the PYP coordinator and deputy head of primary here at Northbridge. This is my fourth year in the job, but my second year in the PYP coordinator role. So relatively new to the position.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, cool. So we've been focusing in this first season a lot on innovation. Well, in general, I think that's what our podcast is going to be about. We were wondering, just reflecting on the year overall, now that we're at the end of it, what are some kind of innovations that you've tried out? You've tried to get some teachers to give a go at throughout the primary school. Anything stand out?
I don't think it's so much of an innovation as trying to take on the idea of agency that comes through the enhanced PYP. And help teachers to see that they have agency in the school, and for them to have a growth mindset, and allowing permission to try and fail, mm-hmm. and like we want our kids to do. So it's more about building that culture of, hey, I tried this, this worked, this didn't, why didn't it, let's have a chat, okay, where to next, rather than always worrying about the grades, the end product, where are we going, it's the how we're going to get there.
Yeah, I sort of see that as a big challenge for any school that you'd work in, I think. And I think it's the schools that can set themselves apart are the schools that can empower their teachers in that way, make them feel like they can take risks and try new things and put their hand up and talk about the times that they fail and not just the times that they succeed.
Yeah, I think it's important to lead from the front in that way. And so when we make mistakes, we need to own it and talk about it, because we want our kids to do it all the time. And we're always talking about growth mindsets, and they need to see us modelling it as adults as well.
Yeah.
I think also it's good that you mentioned the student agency thing, because we had a session recently on student agency because of the enhanced PYP you presented. And that was basically one of the things that kind of got us thinking about trying out a podcast. Yeah. That was the first episode. So I think it did work in some way, that, you know, we were thinking about student agency, and our own agency, and let's give something a go. So this is one of those outcomes. Nice.
Well done.
Great.
And so that's a nice little segue into the next question, which is what sort of innovations, what new things are you seeing as your role as the Primary Years Program Coordinator?
Okay, so one thing that a few grades have tried to do is bring in some more project-based learning approach to what's happening in the classroom. So the grade 5 students did a project around working with Animal Mama and looking at developing prototypes for things that would support dogs and cats that may have had limited mobility due to accidents, and there are a lot of those in Cambodia. We've also looked at medical marvels through our relationship we have with MIT.
Yeah, nice.
And the grade 3 students looked at how exploration leads to innovation in history, and then they took that idea and thought about, okay, so we need to explore space in the future, so what are we going to be able to do with our technology in order to support people to live, work, and explore in space in a more effective way?
Yeah, well, just out of interest, how did the teachers embrace that? And through the, you have to be part of the reflection process as well. Like, moving to that project-based learning unit, was that seen as a positive thing for them?
I think the main feedback is that the kids are engaged.
Yeah.
But one thing that the teachers can find hard to measure is exactly, because it's not so content-based, a lot of it is skills-based, it's collaboration, it's creativity. Yeah. When it comes to creating a rubric and grading and knowing it, being able to mark and test and put something in a grade book, that can be a little more difficult because it's not black and white. It's not, well, they know this and they don't know that.
Yeah.
So that can be a challenge.
That's come up for us a few times, how to assess the projects or STEAM or making or whatever, assessment of skills. So we're looking at maybe an episode coming up soon on that.
Yeah.
But nice. It is a big challenge for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, nice. And so Bessie, you're in a good position to have a nice overview generally of the primary school. Do you ever see things pop up in like one area where they're doing things really well that you'd like to kind of grab and like push out to the rest of the other year levels, or I don't know, is there anything like that?
Yeah, so with the big focus on agency, one thing that we really notice in the school is the way that agency's different at different ages for different kids. But the early learning classes and teams really embrace their idea of opportunity, providing a lot of stimulation and a lot of exciting activities and environments and learning experiences for the kids. But the kids really have a lot of choice about where they go, what they want to do, how they're developing their schemas, and how they're making sense of the world in their own way. And I love the way that they just all intermingle. So what I'm trying to encourage, and I hope we'll see next year a little bit more, is that some of the upper grade levels, so grade 5 are working on this for next year, opening up the doors that divide the classrooms and having more of a shared space of, we are learners and there are 3 teachers in this space, and we move about and we use the classroom in a more collaborative way across and between classes. Another thing that we're trying to implement is having kids using technology and more in the younger grades. So we introduced a stop motion video learning unit in grade 1, which linked to life cycles. What was really great about the stop motion was they learned it as a fun activity, no story, no knowledge, no content. They just made a little story with some Lego men and learned the skill. And then it enabled those students who maybe couldn't write a non-fiction text about the life cycle of a butterfly to show that they understood the life cycle of a butterfly through claymation or through drawings. So it really helps our EAL students to show they understand the concepts, even if they don't have the language to share those understandings.
Yeah, nice. And that's definitely something that I have the benefit of you talking about often, is that whole idea of like, teach the skill first in a fun way that is a context that they care about, and then bring in the content and give them a chance to apply that skill with the content instead of trying to do both at the same time, which maybe sometimes for time's sake, that's something that we do, and it's really you know, it's making it cloudy, making it difficult for them.
Yeah, and the cognitive load is
huge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks heaps, Fizzy. That was some great insights there.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Just the last thing is that I know you on Twitter and you like to reach out to people. So would you like to give us your Twitter handle there, Bissy?
Yeah, you can find me very inventive at Bissy Groom on Twitter. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks so much for your time.
No, thank you.
Okay, Jack, that was quite a noisy interview there with old squeaky chair Groom and a couple of mic knocks there as well.
I think we might have to ask our guest to sit on the floor or something next time. Nah, all good. Fantastic here from Bissy and someone who's sort of leading the charge here and really knows her stuff when it comes to PYP. It's awesome.
Nice.
All right. Well, I think we want to leave our listeners for the year with some food for thought.
Yep.
And you know, keep things moving as they go through the holidays, but we are going to take a break.
Yep.
And that means time to do some cool stuff.
Yeah, it is time to sleep for sure, as you were just saying.
Yeah,
a good sleep there, but also it gets to the point in the holidays, I think, where you're like, you're recharged and your brain's ready to go, and maybe that's a good time to read a book, listen to a podcast, have a little project yourself on the go. So
And I like to hit the ground running. Like I tend to get really excited at the end of the holidays, you know, and that's kind of what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, reading a book. What kind of books are you thinking about?
Well, one that I read last summer, which I sort of recommend and actually helped me do a better job of project-based learning, was Setting the Standard for Project-Based Learning by a guy called John Lama.
Yeah, nice.
And that's a book I recommend. It goes through the basics, you get your head around it, like you say, you get excited, and you start putting some plans together for how you're going to introduce that. And that sort of helped me be able to push forward with what I want to do in my class. And then there's another one that I want to read, and this has come through because as an IB school, we are primary years program, and the solo taxonomy is coming through quite a lot in the enhanced PYP. And so I'm going to read some books about the solo taxonomy, and that's by Pam Hook. And then there's Steve Martin, who has a couple of guides as well to sort of support you in like bringing this way of creating rubrics and understanding what where you want to go with your thinking and learning.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, nice one.
Yeah.
I got a couple I was thinking about too. Something that's just been popping up like crazy on like Twitter and things I've been noticing. And I don't know, maybe everybody's already heard of this, but this like the... AJ Giuliani, launch. He's got to launch and empower.
Yeah.
And they look really cool. So I want to check those out. Yeah. I got to go find those. The other one I've had sitting on my desk for a while, I flicked through a little bit, but I have been meaning to read, is Steam Makers by JC Maslick. And I honestly was meaning to read it anyway.
Yeah.
But just in the last couple of weeks, she has popped up on our Twitter.
Yep.
Liked an episode, which is cool.
Oh, nice.
So that gave me a little extra push to pick it up and get it read.
Yeah. And of course, an episode shouldn't go past without us referencing the Lifelong Kindergarten.
The Bible. Bible. Absolutely. Yeah. No. If any listeners haven't read it, I think they should.
Yeah.
Maybe they understand what we're. why we're in love with it.
Yeah.
So something that I think a lot of teachers are going to probably be doing at this time, especially the international ones, is jumping on a plane and going really far away.
Yeah.
And for that, I think nice to have a podcast to listen to. You got any long flights coming up?
Yeah, I've got one. I'm lucky enough to be heading across to Italy, the home of good food and hopefully sunshine and swimming in the ocean. So I'm super excited about that. Yourself?
Yeah, that sounds cool. I have got a little trip to Boston, just the lazy 20-something hours of flight transit time. So I'll definitely be getting through some episodes. But no, very excited to go. But you got to find a way to get through those flights.
Yeah, nice. So I've got a couple of podcasts that I've listened to b- before, but also one that I'm excited about exploring. Core Education is a group in New Zealand, and they sort of have, when I left 4 or 5 years ago, they sort of pushed innovation and moved my thinking forward. And they've got these nice podcasts that can range from like 4 minutes to 20 minutes long, so they can just be nice little short, sharp ones to do with education, cover all sorts of topics.
I wonder if we'll ever be short and sharp.
This one?
We'll see.
What else? And the other one is actually as a dad, and it's called But Why, and it's a podcast for curious kids.
Yeah.
And so I want to get the young ones on that and have a listen and hopefully get them asking questions and exploring their world.
I got to check that out. That's cool. Yeah, I've been listening to a few. Recently, you know, because we've been doing the podcast, I've been looking out for podcasts done by like actual teachers in schools you know, maybe others around the region. Hopefully maybe we can connect with them at some point. Yeah. But I just kind of like the idea of hearing from, you know, real teachers who are in the classroom and are a bit more grounded in, you know, what's going on day to day rather than sort of, you know, the educational expert or whatever that maybe slightly out of touch. I don't know. But yeah, so I've been listening to a couple made by teachers. So there's a cool one, Teacher Nerds, which has like the most amazing introduction song.
No way.
It's really cool.
Okay. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm going to listen to that.
Check it out. You'll love this intro. And the other one is Teaching It Real, which is, I believe, a buddy of Dalton, who we heard from a couple episodes back. Ryan, who I think they work at the same school there, so that he's involved in that one, and it's nice. Their first episode for the season came out a week or so ago on Genius Hour. It was good. Had some really cool ideas. So that's what I'm going to be listening to. Hopefully they pump out a few more episodes where I have to jump on the plane. So I got plenty to do.
So earlier on we were challenging students to get a passion project on the go, get making, do something. Do you have anything on the go that you're thinking about over the summer holidays?
I do. I've been working on a film. So writing another film. I made one over Christmas, the Christmas break, which was really cool and pushed out to a few festivals and things. But working on the next one, basically. So kind of formulating the story, but I've got to put pen to paper now and see if I can get some things shot over the holidays. Yeah, cool.
Any sort of elevator pitch for us, or is that going to be episode one of season two?
Maybe that will be. We'll see how we go. No, it's a very it's a short film, and it is a very sort of sensory. What I've got in mind is something really sensory, based on being in a busy marketplace. So it's all about that kind of the feeling, like the sounds, the smells and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see how it goes.
Oh, cool. Okay. And for me, I'm actually going to follow through with something that Dalton gifted me, and that's the Microbit.
Ah, cool.
I want to give that a shot. And I've seen some things on Twitter that I've actually really liked, using Microbit and Scratch, I think, as well. So I'm looking forward to just having a play with that and maybe even thinking about, is it something I can bring into the class as well?
Yeah, cool. I want to see how that goes. Yeah. That sounds really nice. All right, Ando, I think that basically wraps us up. We're about there.
Okay, Jacko, thanks for that. It's been an absolute pleasure. And something that we've heard from some of the listeners out there is that they've quite enjoyed the student voice aspect of the podcast.
And so have I, to be honest.
Yeah, it has been really good. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to sign off today listening to a couple of reflections from the students we teach.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, thanks to all the listeners. Don't forget to get in touch on Twitter and email.
Yeah, subscribe on your podcasting platform, and we'll see you in the new year, new academic year.
Cheers.
Too many steps. you need to be patient of what you're doing and to make stuff with about 100 things. Wow, that's a lot.
I keep on saying that math sucks, but now I don't. Because like before we always do like worksheets and stuff, and this time we get to like cut and like it's not boring.
We're crafty.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun and we get to experience new things using like scary tools, but once we get used to it, it was actually very fun. And seeing the final product.
Yeah, satisfying. The hard work pays off.